One night, several years ago, Senator John Stennis approached the front door of his house. Two men jumped out of the darkness. They robbed him and they shot him twice. News of the shooting of Senator Stennis shocked the nation. And for 7 hours, the senator was in surgery at Walter Reed Hospital. Another senator was driving home. When he heard about the shooting, he turned his car around and he drove to the hospital. And in the hospital, he noticed that the staff was swamped. They could not keep up with the incoming calls about the senator's condition. And spotting an unattended switchboard, he sat down and he went to work. He continued taking calls all night long until the next morning. And sometime during the next day, he stood up, he put on his coat, and as he left, he introduced himself quietly to the other operator there, and he said, "I'm Mark Hatfield, glad to help out." And he left. Senator Mark Hatfield from Oregon quietly walked out, and the press could hardly believe the story. In their way of thinking, there was no way that a Republican would help out a Democrat for hours in a menial task and just simply leave saying, "Happy to help out." That is meekness. We're in a series on Jesus' Beatitudes, God's steps to wholeness. These are his 8 steps to personal, emotional, social, and financial wellness. We looked at the first step, the reality step, in the first week, where I stopped denying that there are areas of my life that are unhealthy, that I admit that I intend to do some unwholesome things. And we looked secondly at the hope step, which is, even though I do not have the power to change myself, God does. He energizes me to make those changes. And last week, we began to look at the commitment step, Jesus' third beatitude. And we find this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. And let me read the first 2 beatitudes along with that. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And then today, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." This step to wholeness is called meekness. And the Bible lists several benefits of meekness. The meek will be satisfied. The meek God guides and teaches. The meek become wise. The meek increase in joy. And there are many others as well. Problem is, we misunderstand this term. We often confuse it with the word that sounds like it, the word weak. And so as a result, no one wants to be meek. But the truth is, meekness and weakness are at the exact opposite ends of the scale. Meekness is in no way weakness. In fact, the Greek word for meekness literally means strength under control. It's used of a wild stallion who was tamed and taught to be ridden. That stallion still has the strength that it had when it was wild, but it is now strength under control. God doesn't want you to be weak, but he does want you to be meek. It's one of the keys to reduce stress in your life. And if I were to give you one simple definition of the word meek, I would give you this phrase: let go and let God be God. Let go and let God be God. That's the essence of meekness. It's surrendering, submitting, agreeing to do what God wants you to do in life. Letting go and letting God be God in your life. This will do more for your well-being. Let go and let God be God. Practice this phrase, and it will definitely relieve stress when you let go and you let God be God. It will eliminate worry when you let go and let God be God. It'll defuse anger if you'll let go and let God be God. It will end your hurt. It will terminate your resentment if you'll let go and let God be God. So how do you let go and let God be God? The Bible shows us four ways. We looked at the first two last week. And we'll look at the remainder today, but I want to go back over those first two just to remind us. We made an acrostic from the word meek, M-E-E-K. These are the four ways to relieve stress on the road to becoming whole. Dear Father, we pray that you will help us by your Spirit as he speaks to us through your word to help us, dear Father, to become the people that you want us to be meek, and to understand exactly what that is. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first way that we looked at last week to let go and let God be God is let Christ be your master. Let him manage your life. Let him be your master. Job 22:21 says, "Submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, good will come to you." One paraphrase puts Romans 9:21, "What right do you have as a human being to cross-examine God? The pot has no right to say to the potter, why did you make me this shape? A potter can do whatever he likes with the clay." God knows how to make the most of your life. Far better than you do. Far better than I do. Relax. Let go and let God be God. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Spiritual maturity is deciding in advance to obey God. God, you're the master of my life. You created me. You formed me. You shaped me. I'm going to trust you. I will do whatever you ask me to do. That's making Jesus the master of your life. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will help you. Psalm 37:5. This means to submit, surrender, and say, "I'm all yours, Lord. I'll do whatever you desire." If you submit and you say, "God, you know what's best for me. You love me. I'm going to trust you," then you won't have to experience all those unnecessary pains and that unessential damage that you bring onto yourself. That doesn't mean you won't have any, but you will not be causing any by an untrusting, disobedient spirit. Meekness equals let go and let God be God in your life. Make Jesus my master, my life manager. And then secondly, E, establish God's word as my authority. Establish God's word as my authority. I make Jesus the master of my life, and I establish God's word as my authority. if you decide that God's word is going to be your authority in life, it simplifies your decision making. The Bible is filled with all kinds of commands. God says, do this and don't do that. He's a loving God. He did not give you this book to make your life miserable. It's to protect you. It's for your own good. A loving God is saying, here are the rules for life. Follow them and you will be blessed. Ignore them and you will only get hurt. You're controlled by something, either by popular culture or by the opinions and approval of friends, or by desires, habits, or addictions, or by ego or pride. Everyone is controlled by something. The Bible is given for four reasons, according to 2 Corinthians 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. First of all, it's useful to teach us what is true. Secondly, it teaches what is wrong in our lives. Third, it straightens us out. And fourth, it teaches us what's right. That's why God gave us this authority called the Bible. When I trust God and I follow His directions, I will have much less stress. So why should the Bible be my standard? Because it is dependable. It does not change. Fads and opinions change. But God's truth, His rules for living, they do not change. To have spiritual, emotional, relationship, and physical wholeness, make Jesus Christ the master of your life and establish God's word as the authority of your life. David committed himself in Psalm 119, verse 112. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Also in verse 93, he said, I will never forget your commandments, for by them you have preserved my life. That's a tremendous stress reliever. God says, I'll restore you if you will just follow my instructions. Meekness is letting go and letting God be God. The third letter in the word meek is actually the second E. And that's engage God's Spirit as my enabler. Engage God's Spirit as my enabler. When you take a look at God's word, it tells us how we are to live. And there are some things that seem a bit hard to do. Maybe even, we think, impossible. In Philippians 4:6, he says, don't worry about anything. Is that as tough for you as it is for me? Or how about James 5:9? Don't grumble against each other. Ever struggle with that one? As you read this book, you might think, that's impossible. I can't love everyone. I can't do that. If you've ever felt that way, congratulations. You're just in the right spot because you've realized that the power does not come from in here. It comes from God. It's His power that makes the difference. You see, God never asks us to do anything without him being willing to provide us with the power to do it. Ezekiel 36:27 says, I will put my spirit in you, and I will enable you to live by my laws. The secret to reducing stress in life is living life not by your willpower, but by God's power. Galatians 6:10 or 3:10 says, but those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. Paraphrased, it says, anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Let me read that again. Anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. One reason we face so much stress is we try to do it all on our own. God is willing and able to give us the power that we really need, and yet we try to do it all on our own. Meekness is really about two words that many of us don't like. Two words, surrender and submit. Surrender and submit. Several years ago, Mary tore her Achilles tendon. And as she told me, it was a whole week before she went to the doctor. In fact, that very day that she tore the tendon, she didn't realize what had happened, and she played tennis. She played on her toe on one foot, but she said she played the game of tennis. But when she finally went to the doctor, as a part of the surgery, they had to put her asleep. Whenever we give control to someone else, it concerns us. But if Mary was to ever get healthy again, she had to surrender and submit to the surgeons that had the expertise to do what she could not do herself. If you're going to get well, you must submit to God, who knows what to do and provides the power to do what we cannot do on our own. A great disappointment in life is those who have let us down. We trusted them, but they let us down. And as a result, we feel like maybe we can't trust God either. There's a lot of people that grew up in homes where one or the other parent let them down. And so as a result, they won't trust God. Don't let those human relationships that have let you down keep you from trusting the only one who will never let you down. You can trust him in any and every circumstance to give you the power you need. He will never hurt you. You and I are saved by God's grace. That's how we're forgiven. But we also live by his grace, that same grace that gives us the power to live. Galatians 3:3 says, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? In following Jesus Christ, it's a losing battle to try to do his will on my power, to do his will on your power. Suppose I get on a jet, and as we approach takeoff, the plane is going down the runway, gaining speed faster and faster, and so I just start flapping my arms. I'm trying to help the plane to get up. That would be absurd. But don't we do the same thing? We worry a bit to help God along. And when life gets difficult, instead of trusting him more, we just flap our arms harder. That's what worry is. Some of you are worn out from flapping. You're exhausted. You need to lean back and rely on God's power to do what you cannot do. Captain Howard Rutledge was shot down over North Vietnam during the Vietnam War. He was flying a combat mission, and for the next 7.5 years, he was a prisoner of war in various POW camps. The conditions he faced were inhumane and unspeakable. He was tortured repeatedly. He was left in solitary confinement for 5 solid years. When he finally was released, he wrote a book called In the Presence of Mine Enemies. It was about how he and the other prisoners kept their hope alive. And he wrote, "No one can teach you to survive the brutality of being alone in the dark, in a filthy, smelly, infested, cramped cell. First you panic. You want to cry out. You fight back waves of fear. You want to die and confess to the enemy and do anything that will get you out of that ever-shrinking world. One time I was tortured continuously for 28 days, then put back into irons and solitary confinement. I couldn't move for 5 days. I was so hurt. The humidity was unbearable, and I developed a heat rash that turned into about 61-inch boils all over my body. Day after day, I sat in my own filth and odor, helpless to the insects and rats that crawled all over my body. The sights and smells of death were all around me, but my hunger for spiritual food soon outdid my hunger for a steak. I wanted to know about that part of me that will never die. I wanted to talk to God and to Jesus Christ. But in the heartbreak of solitary confinement, there was no pastor, no Bible, no hymn book, no community of believers to guide me and sustain me. All I had was my relationship with Christ." The Bible verse that kept coming to us was, "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." If God in His power could keep a man going for almost 8 years in a POW prison, don't you think that God in His power can help you to face what you're facing now? He has the power to make a difference. He has the strength to do what you cannot do. Again, Philippians 4:13 assures us, "I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." The fourth way of letting go and letting God be God is keep Jesus the focus of my life. Keep Jesus the focus of my life. Make Jesus the master of my life. Establish God's word as the authority of my life. Embrace God's spirit as the power for my life. And keep Jesus as my life focus. That's a great stress reliever. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Another translation says, "Let us keep our eyes on Jesus, who leads us and makes our faith complete." You remember when Peter tried to walk on water? As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he did the impossible. He walked on water. But when he took his eyes off Jesus and down at the waves, he immediately sank. The reason some of you are sinking today is you've got your eyes on the problem, on the situation. You've focused on the difficulty, and you've taken your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm driving to a place that I've never been to before, and I'm distracted, I might miss my turn. I did that this week. Some of you have spiritual ADD, spiritual attention deficit disorder. It's easier to be spiritually distracted even more than to be physically distracted, to get our eyes off the Lord. Some of you started with God in the past, and you started down the road to recovery, but you've relapsed into your old patterns of grief, of guilt, of shame, of habits, of hurts, of hang-ups. You've relapsed because you have taken your eyes off the Lord. You've focused on yourself or on another person or on your school activities or on your job. And like Peter, you took your eyes off Christ and you started sinking. Proverbs 25:15 says, "My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only He will release my feet from the trap." If you won't be distracted, you will stay on course. Proverbs 3:5-6 is my life verse, and probably many of yours is as well. In the New Living Translation, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." For centuries, sailors would look to the North Star to navigate across the seas. And the reason why they always kept their eye on the North Star is because it doesn't change. It's always in the same place. It's always a constant in the sky. You need a North Star in your life. Something that never, ever changes. Now that rules out every other human being, because every one of us changes. Don't put your faith in another person. You need something that doesn't change. We all need a North Star in our life, and that's what Jesus Christ is. He never changes. We all need a solid, unchanging constant to focus on, like Jesus Christ. Here are four secrets of letting go and letting God be God. And we've just looked at the fourth one. Make Jesus the master of my life. Establish God's word as the authority of my life. Engage the Holy Spirit as the power of my life. And then keep Jesus Christ the focus of my life. These are all steps summed up in this step three on this road to wholeness. Consciously choose to commit all my life and my will to Jesus Christ's care and control. That's the commitment step. It's the commitment step to being whole again. If you don't take this step, you can't take any of the remaining steps that we're going to look at. You have to get to a point where you say, "I am going to commit my life and my will to God." Now, there's one thing that will keep you from doing that. It's a lack of trust. So it takes faith to take step three. So let me ask you, what would keep you from trusting God? Why would you not trust the Creator who made you, who loves you, and who sent His Son to die for you? Why would you not trust Him? Do you realize that you trust your life to strangers every single day? When you go through a green light at an intersection, you're trusting that some idiot at the red light isn't going to ignore it and plow right into you. At a restaurant, a waitress hands you your food. There could have been a chef back there who was sick, who spit into your food accidentally. You have no idea. You're trusting your life to a stranger. Now, when you sat in that chair this morning, you trusted that someone had not removed all of the screws. You see, you can't live your life without faith. You all have faith. Everyone has faith. What really matters is what you put your faith in. Why would you not put your faith in the all-powerful God who loves you with an everlasting love? Are you ready to take this step? Notice the benefits. Proverbs 22:4 says, "True humility and respect for the Lord lead a man to riches, honor, and long life." This is a daily decision of faith. Some of you have completed step three. You've consciously chosen to commit your will to Christ's care and control. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior just once. That's all it takes to receive Him, just once. But you do step three every day of your life, and maybe throughout the day. It's a constant decision. Who is going to be in charge of me today? Is it going to be me or God? Don't be anxious about tomorrow. In other words, let go and let God be God. God will take care of your tomorrow as well as today. Let go and let God be God. Live one day at a time. Let go and let God be God. Are you ready to take step three in this journey to wholeness? Emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical health? Now's the time to do that. Truth is, you let something or someone control your life. You may have given your life to making lots of money. Perhaps you've given your life to another person for their approval. You may have given your life to a habit or a bad memory from the past. Your life might be ruled by resentment or hurt that you just won't let go of. You may be controlled by the opinions of friends or by the values of our popular culture. Let me ask you a question. Has whatever has been controlling you up to this point given you the life you've always wanted? Or has it left an emptiness you really don't like to admit? This is a daily choice, folks. Who's going to be in charge of your life? Are you locked in a wrestling match with God over this? Why fight with the one who made you, who loves you, and sent his son to die for you? Why fight the one who knows what will make you happy far more than you do? Are you ready to take step three? Let me ask you to pray this prayer if you are. I want you to be in the driver's seat, Jesus. Pray this prayer. I want you to be in the driver's seat, Jesus. I give myself to you. Help me to learn to trust you and to place myself under your authority. I want to do what your word says to do. With your help, I'm going to obey you from now on. You will be my standard for right and wrong. Enable me to live by your principles. Give me the strength to face every situation with the power of Jesus Christ. Help me to listen to your voice. Keep me on track. I choose to commit all my life and all my will to your care and your control. Jesus, help me to live for you each day, one day at a time, with your help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And for those who have prayed that prayer and who meant it, that you will confirm within them that you are with them and they can depend upon you every day, throughout the day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.